This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Thank you. We are putting the spotlight on the conference semifinals with this State of the Semifinals edition of our NBA playoffs shows. And before we get going, a reminder that the online Warrior Shop is where we've got a Warrior Sound exclusive for 30% off items site-wide using the promo code SOUND at checkout. That's shop.warriors.com with the promo code SOUND for 30% off site-wide. As the playoffs continue, we continue our conversations with NBA.com's Carlin Gay, the host of NBA Sound System Live. And Carlin, this Monday night matchup, a very entertaining nightcap with the Nuggets and Clippers battling in L.A., taking the 2-1 series advantage at the end of the night.
Leonard has it, and the L.A. Clippers have captured a very important Game 3.
So, Carlin, what do you make of Denver's efforts overall, but moreover, the Clippers' ability to stay the course and grab the win?
Well, Lawrence, the one thing we do know about this NBA playoffs, and we didn't know much coming into it. We didn't know what the atmosphere would be like. We didn't know how the players would respond to the atmosphere. But what we do know is that everything that we've learned through the regular season has come true in the playoffs. And I'm sure we're going to get to a lot of these other teams, but when you're looking at the Clippers specifically, we knew in the regular season that this team was really good and that they would flip the switch when they needed to. And so far, we've seen that in the playoffs. In the first round against the Dallas Mavericks, that was a team that they could have easily beat, but they relaxed a little bit, and they allowed the Mavericks to hang around in that series and force a sixth game that the Clippers probably wouldn't have had to play if they brought their A game from opening tip of the game one all the way to the end of that series. They flip the switch when they need to. And again, same situation. They blew the Nuggets out in game one. Everyone's expecting this series to be short and sweet. The Nuggets come back and respond in game two. And in game three, they gave the Clippers really all they wanted until the Clippers decided, you know what? Let's flip that championship switch and play the game that we need to play. 29 points in the fourth quarter. They only allowed the Nuggets to score 19. Whenever they want to shut the Denver Nuggets down, or any team for that matter, the Clippers have the ability to do so. They did that. They proved that in game three, and that's the reason why they're up 2-1. On the other end for the Nuggets, what we've learned from them in the regular season is that they have the ability to bounce back when their backs are against the wall. In fact, they probably play better from the underdog position. They're going to be in the underdog position again in game four. Let's see how they respond under Mike Malone and get a better game from Jamal Murray, who in the last two games, a little up and down, a little Jekyll and Hyde. That's the season he's had. He needs to perform again at a high level in game four if this Nuggets team is going to even the series up at 2-2.
You know, on the TNT broadcast, Kevin Harlan having a lot of fun bringing up names of Denver Broncos of the past as he's referring to some of the Nuggets on the court. But for real, it seemed as if we're looking at almost a second coming of John Elway out there with some of the passing from Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic is a special, special player. And he's coming under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of pressure in this postseason because of his perceived lack of effort defensively. We saw him step up defensively in game two. Is Jokic going to turn into Dikembe Mutombo? Nuggets fans would wish that he'd become prime Dikembe Mutombo. That's not going to happen. But what he is an absolute maestro offensively. He can do things that most seven-footers only dream of. He could do things most point guards dream of. Passes that he's thrown. You made the reference to John Elway. He really is a modern day Arvydas Sabonis. He really is a modern day Vlade Divac. And that is in the sense that he sees plays develop long before they actually come to pass. And when you have the option to dump it down low to your center to provide offense, to make plays and have guards really cut off of that action and give, you know, create opportunities where Jamal Murray and Gary Harris and, you know, Michael Porter Jr. gets easier looks at the basket where they don't have to dribble 8 or 9 seconds of the shot clock to find those looks. That is a luxury that Denver has that really no other team in the NBA has. He's the best passing big man in the league today, and it's not even close. And when you have the real test really for the Clippers this season, and the only question mark I think most people had with this team was, do they have a center that's going to be able to go up against a Nikola Jokic or Rudy Gobert if they were to play the Jazz in the playoffs, and ultimately an Anthony Davis if they get past this Nuggets team onto the next round? that question's being answered now. Zubats had a tough time really trying to contain Jokic. He got into foul trouble in that in game three. And Jokic really now knows, and he played like he understands that there's no way that Zubats can check him. There's no way that Montrezl Harrell can guard him. And all he needs now is for the rest of the Nuggets team to kind of feed off of that energy and feed off of that confidence and realize that, yes, most people are predicting the LA Clippers to win the NBA championship, but we're an NBA team too, and we deserve to be on the floor alongside them and really, really could, you know, upset the apple cart here with a big win. They played that way in game two. They played that way for a lot of game three. They just have to put a full 48-minute effort. And this could be a series that goes longer than many people expected it would.
Also Monday, the first part of the holiday doubleheader.
Smart running to his right. Gives it right back. And Brown throws it down.
Oh. Woo.
Oh. As Boston with a huge spring in their collective step. As Toronto had even the series 2-2. And the Celtics not only respond, but Carlin, they respond in style.
It's Brad Stevens, a genius at work. His ability to make in-game and between-game adjustments is really why people had, 2 years ago, if we remember, really why people had predicted that the Celtics team would be winning a championship before long. They just needed the pieces to go around that team, the young talent that they had, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They just needed that extra piece and that superstar to come alongside them to push them to the next level. They thought it would be Kyrie Irving. Everyone expected it to be Kyrie Irving. For one reason or another, it didn't work out. But what they do have in Kemba Walker is a guy that's going to fit into the system and really preach what Brad Stevens is trying to get across to his team. And when you have Brad Stevens, who is a mastermind in terms of X's and O's, and then a very talented Boston Celtic team that really feels that they can compete with anybody bar none, you have a perfect marriage there between those two things. And we saw that in game five. They could have really, hanged their head because they should be up 3-0. They're 0.5 seconds away from being up 3-0 and potentially sweeping the Toronto Raptors. And then all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, they're playing in a series 2-2. To be able to come back from that and not worry about the missed opportunities and only look at the opportunity in front of them is huge. Jaylen Brown came out in game five and really solidified himself, in my opinion, as a star, bona fide star in this league. Had a horrible shooting night in game four. What does he do? He responds in game five with a game high 27 points. Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum. We can talk about him all we want. But to me, Kemba Walker has really stepped up and figured things out along the way in this series. In games one and two, things came easy for Kemba. He was getting to his spots and knocking down shots. Games three and four, Nick Nurse and the Raptor staff made the adjustments, throwing a little zone in there, trying to throw that quote-unquote janky defense anytime they could to try and frustrate Kemba Walker, where he figured that out in game five. And it didn't matter what the Raptors were trying to do defensively, it wasn't working. Kemba Walker and the rest of this team really got into their offensive sets. They found spots on the floor where they could penetrate and really send that zone into a scramble. And the Raptors just didn't have an answer for them offensively. And then on the defensive end, they made their adjustments. The Raptors were taking it strong to the paint in games three and four, where the Celtics said no more of that. Daniel Theis all of a sudden becomes one of the great rim protectors we've seen in the last couple of weeks. And Jason Tatum doesn't get credit for his size. Jaylen Brown doesn't get credit for his size. Marcus Smart, we can talk about him as one of the key defensive players in the league. His flopping aside, he still is one of the best perimeter defenders that we have in this league. And now this is the third time, Lawrence, in this series that the Raptors have failed to get to 100 points. And in all three games, they've lost. The huge, huge number for me is that Lawler Law, first team to 100. If the Raptors can get to 100 points in game six, we may have a game seven. If they fail to do so, they're packing their bags and they're going back to Toronto.
Invoking Clippers legendary announcer Ralph Lawler with Lawler's Law, it's Carlin Gay of NBA Sound System Live. He's the host of that show and also a contributor to NBA.com. And Carlin, when you think of a recent NBA Sound System show, you called it. Heading into the conference semifinals, you guys ranked the teams in the East, and the final four of the East got slotted as you saw trouble brewing for Milwaukee heading into this Final Four on the eastern side of the bracket?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're in an era now where numbers, you know, tend to tell a lot of the story. And, you know, we're so reliant on those when discussing the NBA. And the Milwaukee Bucks sort of give off that vibe when you look at them on a spreadsheet that, you know, they're an unstoppable team. Giannis is an unstoppable force. He's on his way to winning his second MVP in a row. He just cleaned up on Defensive Player of the Year. Not many players in NBA history have done that. And he's at the peak of his game and the peak of his powers at this time. But there is a way to slow him down when you have a good defense like the Miami Heat do. And, you know, we have a great coach in Eric Spoelstra who can figure out ways to try and make things tough for him. He sees in a regular season, you know, it's easy to roll in one night to Sacramento and then roll in the next night to Dallas and roll in the next night to Houston and play the same style. And over a course of an 82-game series or season, rather, it's tough to stop Giannis. You know, guys don't want to take the pounding that he's going to put on you. That's why he was tops in the league in terms of points in the paint. That's why he was one of the best in the league in terms of getting fast break points. Well, in the playoffs, when you've seen that a couple of times and you have a team that is as tough as Miami, you just have to show them bodies and stay in front of them and hold your ground. And that's what the Heat are doing, really. And Giannis just doesn't have the trust in his jump shot yet to negate that. He also doesn't have the trust in his playmaking ability to create other shots for other people unless he's getting double teamed. And the Heat haven't needed to double team him as much because they're showing him bodies the same way that the Raptors did a year ago. He needs help from his teammates, and he got some of that with Chris Middleton. Unfortunately for Giannis, he wasn't in the game. You know, the twisted right ankle, we don't know. He's still questionable for game five. We hope all is okay there. But he needs the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks team to play with the confidence that they played with when he was out of the game. It seems like whenever Giannis is on the floor, everybody is trying to make sure that Giannis is comfortable. And I think the reverse has to be Giannis making sure that his team is comfortable for them to try and get back into the series. The unfortunate part about this, it's a 3-1 series lead for the Miami Heat. They have the Bucks number. It's too little too late. This one is over, and the Miami Heat will be going on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think, rightfully so, they've been a really good team all season long. The two moves that they made at the deadline, picking up Jay Crowder and going out and getting Andre Iguodala after sitting out pretty much all season long, were the two moves that eventually, you know, help them beat this Milwaukee Bucks team, because those are two guys that are long, lengthy defenders, very intelligent and very tough. They know how to get it done on the defensive end, and all of a sudden Jay Crowder is hitting threes. So that is a huge plus for the Miami Heat, and they now have a shot at making the NBA Finals after upsetting the Milwaukee Bucks.
So they talk about how the playoffs is a race to the finals. This really feels like a race with these teams playing basically every other day. And we get into this position on this show because there is limited shelf life. But now Lakers, Rockets, we do have a series. Tonight, one team will grab an advantage. In a nutshell, though, where is this series heading in your mind?
Well, it all depends on Russell Westbrook. He's the guy that is really going to decide whether or not this is a long series or this is a short series. The biggest advantage the Houston Rockets have, and it's going to sound weird, but the biggest advantage the Houston Rockets have is the fact that Russell Westbrook is playing essentially a center's role, or PJ Tucker. Those two are interchangeable. You know, if you're forcing Anthony Davis to have to guard a smaller player than he's more accustomed to guarding, then you're in a perfect scenario to try and upset the Lakers. The problem with it is Russell Westbrook hasn't played up to his potential. He's only averaging 15.6 points per game in this playoffs. I know he's coming back from an injury, but if they can't get Russell Westbrook to play the style of basketball that he was playing when they decided to make the switch to small ball, Houston, I'm talking about, then this series will be over really quickly. The Lakers, you know, it takes time to figure out what Houston is doing, and you need to see it a couple of times. And at that time, you know, by the time you figure it out, you could be down 0-2. You could be down 2-1 in a series. But the Lakers have really figured it out quickly, and it came halfway through game two. The Rockets looked like they were running away with it. And then the Lakers finally chipped away at that lead. Anthony Davis started to assert himself. LeBron James said, you know what, I'm no longer going to be the facilitator. I'm going to turn myself into a little bit more of an aggressive scorer. When he does that, that this Laker team is as dominant as they've been all year. And regardless of whether or not they're going to get the three-point shooting to keep up with Houston, I don't know that Houston could continue to take the body punches, meaning the points in the paint and the easy buckets, over and over again and continue to stay in this series. So especially if Russell Westbrook's not going to get to the paint on the other end and score inside, because he doesn't provide much jump shooting. His ability to break you down, get to the paint, finish, and get to the line on top of that is really what makes Houston dangerous. If he's not doing that, then the Rockets and their small ball offense just turns into a barrage of three-pointers. And then at that point, it's really a make-or-miss situation. And the Lakers will take their chances with that, especially if you're going to give them easy looks inside. So Russell Westbrook is the key to the series. If he returns to being what he was in the regular season when they made the switch to the small ball lineup, then the Rockets will be in a perfect position to upset the Lakers. But if he's going to play like he did in game two, this Laker team will get the Rockets out in five.
You can hear him on NBA Sound System. That's the host of NBA Sound System, NBA.com's Carlin Gay. I'm Lawrence Scott. Thanks so much for listening.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!